Brisa says a person is allowed to give food to a dog even if the dog is going to take the food out of the person's chatzar on Shabbos, and it doesn't look like you're having the dog do a malacha for you. Similarly, you can give food to a goy even though the goy is going to leave the chatzar with it on Shabbos. Not a problem. The chiddush of the second case with the goy is that because you don't have an obligation to feed the goy, where if it's your dog you have an obligation to feed the dog. Maybe that's why it's mutter to kamashma on the second case. Brisa says you're allowed to rent things to a guy on Wednesday and Thursday, but not on Friday. And similarly, you can't send a letter with a guy on Friday. Brisa says you can send a letter with a guy on Friday if there's a set price, so it's up to him to decide when to deliver. If there was no set price that was made, then it depends. So if the person who you're sending it to is likely to be found at his house where the address is going, where the letter is going, so Beis Shammai say, it can only be sent if there's enough time for it to reach that house before Shabbos begins. Beis Hillel say that it can be sent as long as the guy can reach the house which is near the wall of the city of that place where the recipient lives. Brisa says you should not set sail on a ship within 3 days before Shabbos unless it's for a Dvar Mitzvah. Rebbe says you should make up with the captain that he should dock for Shabbos, but if the ship doesn't dock for Shabbos, it's not a problem. Shimon Gamliel says you don't even have to make that type of deal with the captain. Brisa says we don't set siege on a city within 3 days before Shabbos, but if you began, you don't stop. Mishnah said, "Amar Shimon Gamliel nehagan hayu v'chulu." Brisa says Reb Tzadik says that the minig of the base Rabbi Gamliel was to give white clothing only 3 days before Shabbos, at least 3 days before Shabbos, to give to launder, because it's much more difficult to clean than dyed clothing, colored clothing, which they would give even on erev Shabbos. Abaye gave colored clothing to a launderer, and he wanted to charge him the same much as it was to clean a white clothing. He said, no. We know already from the Rabbanon that it's obviously much easier to wash and clean colored clothing, so you should not charge me the same price. Mishnah said, v'shavan elu v'elu shetoyanin v'chulu. Why is it Beis Shammai did not allow any of these other things to be done on Friday right before Shabbos if it's going to continue doing the desired effect on Shabbos? When it came to squeezing out the olives and the grapes with the boards, that was okay. My answer is because even if these were done on Shabbos, putting the beams on these grapes or olives, you wouldn't be chayav achatas. Therefore, Beis Shammai is not goyzer when it's on Friday afternoon. Who is the Tana that holds that when these things come out on their own, the juice is coming out on their own, that it's mutter to do on Shabbos, you wouldn't be chayav? Rabbi Yisrael Chanina says, Rabbi Shmuel, we see in the Mishnah. Mishnah says that if you have chopped garlic or chopped unripe grapes or chopped unripe grain and you put heavy beams on top of them on Friday before Shabbos, they can continue to go on Shabbos as Rabbi Shmuel Shita. The Amoyer Rabbi Lozer says it's actually the Tana Rabbi Lozer, because we learned in the Mishnah that if someone opened up a honeycomb right before Shabbos, he's allowed to have the honey drip out the whole Shabbos, and it's Rabbi Lozer allows it. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina would say that it could be Rabbi Lozer wouldn't agree. Maybe Rabbi Lozer only agrees over there because it began as an oichel and it ended off as an oichel. The honey remains an oichel the entire time. It's considered a food item. Whereas over here, it started as a grape or an olive and it ended up as a liquid. Maybe over there, Rabbi Lozer wouldn't agree. Rabbi Lozer of the Amira says, I actually find that Rabbi Lozer Tana says this even by grapes and olives. And therefore, his shita is not limited to when it's a food item and it ends up as a food item. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina never saw that brisa where Rabbi Lozer Tana says it, and that's why he didn't feel that Rabbi Lozer could be the Tana here. Rabbi Lozer the Amora didn't say that the Tana is Rabbi Yishmol, because he says that our Mishnah is talking about where the grapes or the olives were chopped, but they weren't crushed. And we find that Rabbi Yishmol wouldn't allow the putting of a heavy beam onto grapes that were only chopped, but they weren't crushed. So therefore he can't be the Tana of our Mishnah. Marmuz machlekes between Rav and Shmuel, where Rav seems to hold like Rav Yehuda, who holds of muktzah, and therefore there are many things which he says are aser on Shabbos, whereas Shmuel seems to hold like Rav Shimon, who holds of muktzah really to a much lesser degree, and therefore he would allow using a number of items. The Gemara brings a number of examples to show this machlekes. The oil of the olive pressers and the mats of the olive pressers, Rav would say is aser, it's muktzah, and Shmuel would say it's mutter to be used on Shabbos. Similarly, the mats used to cover a ship's cargo, Rav says is aser, Shmuel would say it's mutter on Shabbos. Similarly, Rav Nachman said that an animal that's not meant to be shechted, it's used for its milk, for its wool, etc., things like that, or fruit that's not meant to be eaten, Rav would say it's aser to be on Yontif, and then Shmuel would say it's mutter to be used on Yontif. Again, it doesn't hold a muktzah. There was a certain Talmud that Paskin liked Rabbi Shimon in the place called Charta d'Arges, and Rav Hanuna put him in Cherem. And the reason he put him in Cherem is because he was passing like Rav Shimon in a place where Rav was the manig, where Rav was the poisik. You can't pass like Rav Shimon when Rav doesn't hold that way, and not in the place of Rav.